You got it already?
Is that?
Okay. If you got it, you got it. I don't remember always, you know, it's what we gave out, what we didn't give out.
What are you holding here?
Okay. John, you want to do me a gvaldig tov, if you don't mind? I'm really embarrassed to ask you this, but can you put some hot water in here, like spill out half of it? So it'll be a half a cup, and then put in hot water, and this way I'll be able to. Oh, Yosef, you want to? Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the most famous Mishnah in our Perek of Chol HaBosar is the Mishnah Tipas Cholav on Kuf Ches. And the Mishnah says that if milk falls on meat, everything's hot. It all depends on what the ratio is between the milk and the meat. If it's been no same time, let's say it's a ratio of 1 to 60 or less than 60, then it's possible. If on the other hand it's 1 to 61, then that's called that there's no bittul. Thank you so much. And therefore, as a result of the fact that there's no bittul, I'm sorry. What did I just say? This I meant to say there's no tam. I'm sorry. Let me start again. Sorry. So again, if the ratio, says the Mishnah, is less than a sinas tam, meaning that there's no tam cholov in the basar because, let's say, it's 1 to 61. So in such a case, it's mutter. Now, the Mishnah doesn't exactly spell out why it's mutter. The Mishnah just says that it's not no same time. And there is going to be a school of Rishonim that are going to insist that that's because of bittul. But there's another possibility, and it's not based on bittul at all. What does that mean? One of the most fundamental principles in bittul, and again, it's not accepted by all Rishonim, but it's certainly the Shita of Tosvis and also the Rush, is that heter beheter lo bata. So for example, you have Semer and Pishtin that are woven together in a beged. We don't look at percentages. Even one string of Pishtin in a gigantic beged of Semer, the whole thing is awesome. Midoraisa. It's client. It's shatnez. So the Rush points out, he wrote a whole work of Hilchas Kelayim, that the reason why there's no bittul is because we don't apply bittul in a case of heter beheter. Tosfos says that even in Avodah Zarah. And we now have a serious problem, because if we apply this yardstick, this principle of heter beheter, it should apply to Basar B'chol, because
both heter.
Exactly, they're both heter. Well, what's going to be mevatel what over here? The cholov is mevatel the basar, or vice versa? The cholov is mut to the basar is mut. It's mamish like kelayim. But on the other hand, the Mishnah says explicitly that if there's no same time, then it's mutter. Well, how can it be mutter if there's no bittul? So the Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rush, they say the following, that basar b'chol is different. That if there's no nesinas time, it's mutter. But not because of bittul. For a whole different reason. And to appreciate the new breakthrough here as to why, in a case where there's no nesinas time of cholov in the bus, it's mutter, we introduce our sugya about halah, right? The Gemara says in halah, what's your problem? Your problem is that he's going to eat the meat with the milk because it's on the same table, it's all cold. And the Gemara says, derech bishul asur Torah. The Torah says that what's possible cholov? It's been cooked together. If it hasn't been cooked together, till finally the Gemara says, shevi yala b'ilfis, the Gemara's going to have, somehow, we don't know exactly how it's going to construct a situation where if you're eating meat and milk on the same table, you're going to come to cook it together in a kli rishon. Okay, fine. But this is the principle called derech bishul asur Torah. That basar b'chol is not just eating meat and milk. It's eating meat and milk that were cooked together. And now we have to learn the laws of cooking. We have to take a crash course with a chef and cook a cooking course. when a chef puts something into a pot, there are a whole bunch of ingredients. What's going to be true about every single ingredient that he adds to the pot? What do you say? I don't think he's interested in volume. I mean, he pours in a little bit of pepper. I don't think
there'll be no tame tongue.
Exactly. I mean, otherwise, you know, you might as well. Yeah, you would not go to chef school if you added. I would fail you if I was in charge of the course. If you added something to this tamshil and that's cooking on the fire, that would not add any taste.
Okay.
Now maybe if it adds color or something, I'd say, well, texture, I don't know. But let's assume the only factor here that we have to deal with is taste. So the man adds a tipas cholov into a kederish shel basar, and it adds absolutely no taste. That's not derech bishul. You're going to be absolutely failed in your cooking class. That's not called derech bishul. We're going to see that the Rishonim and Achronim are going to talk about different options of derech bishul. Like, for example, there's something called tigun, and kovush, and moliach, and a whole bunch of other cases.
Well, forget about that.
So we have to know what is considered derech bishul. But one thing I can promise you, says Tosis, derech bishul means it's no same time. If you add a couple of drops of water, of milk, into a gigantic cholin, then that's not derech bishul. If it doesn't add any taste whatsoever, that's not called derech
bishul. If I add drop by drop, I'm adding a lot, but I'm adding drop by drop.
That might be derech bishul. Could be. Right. So that then you have to know the sugya of chosav aniyah or whatever the sugya is. But I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying without getting into all the details. One thing is for sure: when the Mishnah says tipas cholov is mutter, because it's not been osing tam, this has nothing to do with bittul. It's not pshat that the basar is mevatel lecholov because it's a gigantic volume of basar. It's simply because that's not called bishul. It's not derech bishul. And Rav Osa, I want to come back to this point later on because it seems that the Isur Basar Mechalav is somehow intricately related to the first Isur, which is the only Isur that the Torah mentions explicitly, namely what? Bishul. In other words, in Nevela, Trefo, or any other Isur, Achila, you know, we don't have to talk about Bishul. You know, it was Derech Bishul. What do I care? You ate the Nevela, you chayev. Again, you have to eat a Kedarka. You know, you can't eat it raw. But I don't think it has to be subject to bishul in order for you to be chayef for achilas nevela. You could have something less than bishul and you chayef for nevela. So, for example, if I take a piece of meat and I soak it, you know, and I put it in brine or whatever the experts are going to tell you to do, there was never a bishul. But yet, if he eats it because I sat nevela, he gets malchus. The only exception is going to be basar mechalav. Because since the Torah formulates the Isra Achila in terms of Los Avashel, it means that Bishul is the prerequisite to the Isra Achila. The Isra Achila is almost a follow-up, so to speak, or an extension of the Isra Bishul. So if you violated the Isra Bishul, then you violated the Isra Achila. So there's some very intricate relationship here between Bishul and Achila. But the bottom line is that there's no Isra Achila without Bishul. And in a case where there was no Nesinas Tam, that's not called Derech Bishul. And Tosus therefore says that this tarovis of cholov and basar is mutter. You're allowed to eat it because it was not no same time. But please be careful. You can't fall into a trap here. Don't say that the reason why you're allowed to eat this mixture is because of bittul. You know, you hear the numbers 1 to 60, 1 to 61, you automatically, you know, you trigger off, it's almost mechanical that you trigger off and your book goes off on your screen, on your brain, is bittul. No, it's not bittul. There is no bittul. Bittul doesn't apply in heter v'heter. There's another condition that you're only chayv achila and basar mechalav if there was derech bishul. If it became basar mechalav without derech bishul, then the Torah allows you to eat it. Maybe even the rabbanon allow you to eat. I don't know. That we'll see as we go along. But now he has a sefer haguda. I think the sefer haguda is about 5 centuries ago. One of the early achronim. And he has a levush, and he says that this din, that heter v'heter, this principle of zlo batel, that's only with regard to yavish b'yavish. In yavish b'yavish, we don't apply bittel. Yavish b'yavish has nothing to do with tam. Yavish b'yavish is always a suffix. You know, we don't know if this piece belongs to the Isra or belongs. You know, where did it come from? Right, called the parish merubah parish. So in such a case, we have a real. we have a real live battle here between the heter and the isur, and we apply the principle of bittul. But that's only because you have heter and isur. If it's heter and heter, so how are you going to apply? How are you going to apply the principle of bittul? There's no battle here between heter and heter. So in Yavish B'Yavish, says the Levush, there's a principle called Ein Bittul. Heter B'Heter is Lo Bittul. But once we introduce into the equation Lach, so you're mixing Lach with Lach or Lach with Yavish, in all those cases you have a transfer of Tam. Yavish B'Yavish is without any transfer of Tam. But if it's Lach B'Lach, Lach B'Yavish, etc., like the case of Basa B'Cholov, so there we're going to apply the principle of bittul, even if it's heter beheter. So again, the Levush is revolutionizing this principle of heter beheter lo bottle. He's saying heter beheter lo bottle is just a reflection of yavish biyavish. The yavish biyavish is bittul because the iser overrides the heter, or vice versa. The iser is bottle in the heter. But if you have two substances, both of which are independent one of the other, they don't mix tam, and they're all yavish, and they're all mutter, then we don't have some sort of a halachic process by which we can overwhelm the personality and the identity of the minority. You know, this is not like a psak bezdin where the minority is batel. No. Not in the case of yavish b'yavish. You gotta have iser somewhere in there. If it's not iser, then yavish b'yavish is never batel, it's heter b'heter, and it's not batel. But don't for one moment assume that when we get into mixtures, the real mixtures, I mean the mixtures of tam, where you cook two substances together, that just because it's heter and heter, it's not batel. Why not? It could be batel if there's no tam. So therefore the Levush says, if we go back to that mission of tipas cholov, then if there's no tam, it means that it's batel. Bottle means that the tam loses its significance, and if it loses significance, then you don't have basa b'cholov. Basa b'cholov means you have both basa and cholov. But if the cholov is bottle, that's it. It's mutter. And the reason why it's mutter is because of the law of bittul. You'll tell me heter b'heter. No, heter b'heter is only in what yavesh b'yavesh, but not in the case of lach. Once I introduce lach into the equation, then we apply bittul even in the case of heter beheter. Clear? Yeah. So again, there are two radically different ways of understanding our Mishnah of tipas cholov. When the Mishnah says if the ratio is 1 to 61 is, you know, zaykezunt, you know, tovah lo bracha, you can serve it at a sheva brachas, what do I care?
But then you're
still... But why is that? Is it because of bittul or is it because of derech bishul asur Torah? Yeah.
But once you have milk in there, and it's no same tam, then can you still look at it as a separate entity, as if the milk is like a separate ingredient, as if it were not already...
Only, Yosef, if you'd find a way of getting the tam of cholov out. And that's called negia below rotev. You remember we discussed this once? Like, let's say you would take basa b'cholov. Again, here we're going to apply the principle of chanan, but so what I'm about to say is probably not correct. Only a basa b'cholov derabbanan. But if, let's say, you took this piece of hot basa b'cholov and you attached it to another piece of basa shchuta, now you would have an issue. Why? Because the only time that would transfer without rotev is only the time of the basar, not the time of the cholov. Because you can't take a liquid time and transfer it without a medium of a liquid. I don't know if you have followed even a word of what I said.
Yeah.
This is I don't know if I followed a word of what I said, but these are like the mechanics of taromas. I don't think it's physics necessarily, but that's called Efshar lahafrid, or yesh hafrada. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Is this different?
Do you have smicha from YU?
Yeah.
Did you take Rav Weiss?
Yeah.
Rav Weiss used to make a big deal of that. I didn't learn by Rav Weiss, but like all the guys used to come out with the photocopy notes. You know, it was always Efshar lahafrid. You know what I'm saying?
But is this different from Efshar lasokto?
It's very similar to Efshar lasokto. It could be that Efshar lasokto is the more sophisticated, edel way of saying it in Talmudic language, but it means you can be mafrid. You can separate you know, from the b'cholav out of the basar. Imagine the following scenario: I've got basar b'cholav, and I can somehow scientifically, I can somehow remove the cholav and separate it from the basar. What am I ending up with? So if you hold Hanan, it means that there's this new entity here called Bas B'cholav. So even the Cholav is Bas, and even the Bas is Cholav, it's one and the same.
Right.
But if you don't apply Hanan, and there's a scientific, mechanical possibility of separating the Cholav from the Basar, which you call Efshel Soto, or Yesh Lahafrid, as Rav Weiss used to call it, then you might have a whole different, you might have a whole different entity. You might be able to say that it's Mutter. But barring that one, you know, very specific kind of exception to the rule, we would always assume that once the cholov is no same time in the basar, let's say you have a ratio of 1 to 59, then that's it. Every last particle of basar is saturated with the time of cholov, because the time spreads throughout the entire basar.
It's like a chemical change that cannot be reversed.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The only way of reversing it would be through this very strange mechanism of the gear below rotev, you know. But if not for that, you know, you can't reverse this chemical change. So every single particle of basar is made up of basar with a tam of cholov in it, and that's basar b'cholov.
Right. So the fact that it's not in a rotev is relevant to the other piece, but the piece on which the milk fell. The milk is
saturated throughout the piece lara, because it's no same time.
Yeah.
And not only that, comes along the aguda, and he says if the saturation is a low level, meaning that there's so much more basar than this cholov, like 61, etc., then we're going to apply the principle of bittul. Then the cholov is a non-entity. It's completely bottom. It's heter beheter. Heter beheter is a discussion about yovish. It has nothing to do with lach. So when the Mishnah says in Tipas Cholav that if there's less of this ratio, it's mutter because of bittul. That's the Sefer Aguda in the name of the Levush. The Tosas and the Rush have a different approach. They're going to say heter beheter lo bottle, period. Again, you have to understand why, but heter beheter lo bottle means there's no battle here, so you can't talk about a contrast and a conflict that sets up bittul. And therefore, we have a real problem here with the Mishnah Tipas Cholav, and Tosas says the only way of justifying the Mishnah Tipas Cholav is that if there's no time, then you're doing something which is going to fail you from your course in Bishul, and that's called Shalo Kederech Bishul. And the precondition for Bas B'cholav is it's got to be Kederech Bishulo. That's what we have so far. That's the first paragraph. It took us about 15 minutes because it's a very, very complicated paragraph, and I don't want to fool you for one moment that we've exhausted this topic. But the question that we want to ask is there an afgemina between Tosas and the Rush on the one hand and the Aguda in the name of the Levush on the other? Meaning, it's a very conceptual, theoretical machlokas. I mean, why is it that this Tipas Cholav doesn't generate an Iser in the Basar in that case, right, at 1 to 61? And there are two conceptual answers to that. You can either call it Shalok Derech Bishulo, and Derech Bishulo Asr Torah, or you could call it Bittul, but my afgemina. So here's the brilliance of Rabbi Kiveger. I mean, I never cease to be amazed by Rabbi Kiveger. He says that there's a following nafkamina. Here's the question. Are you allowed to take cholov and cook it with basar? Berzon, you're a joker. What do you mean? The Torah says, L'savashu gadiba kalevimo. He took a tipas cholov and he wants to cook it together with meat that is 61 times the volume of that cholov. Is he allowed to do it?
No, in Mevadar Yisrael L'chatchil.
So who does that make sense to, according to? Which of the two shitas? Again, the Mishnah says that this concoction, which is one cholov to 61 buses, mutter. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, mutter means you're allowed to eat it. Now we're asking a different question. Were you allowed to mix it? So you're quoting Yosef, very rightfully so, the Halach of Eim Mevat L'Nisla Chathchila, says Rabbi Kiveger, that makes sense if the Mishnah is based on Bittul. Are you with me? Who says the Mishnah is based on Bittul?
It's
Tosa the Rosh. So Tosa the Rosh would say that you're not allowed to do this l'chatchila because you are being mevatel something l'chatchila. I know you hear what you're going to ask. I can read your mind. I mean, what do you mean ain't mevatel and isa l'chatchila? There's no isa. He's perish cooking the milk in the meat. But what it means is that the milk will expand its volume of the volume of the basar, and that you're not allowed to do. Why? Because you're artificially creating bittel biyadayim. But says Rabbi Kivega, if I go with the shita of Tosis and the Rosh, they're not operating with bittel. Correct. It's only the aguda is operating because the aguda introduces the lach element into the equation. But according to the Tosis and the Rosh, who there's no bittel and heter straight across the board, whether it's yavish or lach, then the mission is predicated on a different halacha. That's not called derech bishul. So why would it be also? This is not mevat l'nislachatchil. What I'm doing is garnished. As far as lo sevashel gedim b'chaliv imo, according to these Rishonim, I haven't done anything. Let's read it inside. He says, I am b'tshuvas Rabbi Kivega, she'ela d'nafki mina le'in mutu levashel bosu b'chol l'chatchila b'pachos b'kidei nesinas tam. She'im b'bosu b'chol b'lo nesinas tam mutu midin bitul. Which means the sheet of the aguda is mistabel l'chatchila also levashel basu chalav nistan ka ein mevat l'nisul chatchila. Amal im bebasu b'chalav below nesinas tam mutu mitzad atzmo means it's not even a ma'aseh bishul to set up an nisul chatchila. Mishum the derech bishul asr Torah in came mistabel the af l'chatchila mutu levashel bebasu b'chalav below nesinas tam. Imagine if I would ask you a quiz question. You were studying for smicha, the Rabbanut, and I would ask you, under what circumstances would I be allowed to cook milk and meat? So automatically you'd say, well, it's 1 against 61. Ah, then you would catch yourself, and you'd say, well, the Shukrak and Tzadi Hei says, hey, mevat l'nisul chatchila. Ah, the question is, maybe this isn't bishul at all. Would you know the sheet of Tosis and the Rosh that derech bishul asur Torah, and this is not considered bit. Now, just Alan, I'm on a move. No, I want to hear your question, but I just want to tell you, I'm on a roll. But this Yesh Litchos is Rav Soloveitchik, who wants to argue against Rabbi Kivega in terms of this nafkamina. And basically, Rabbi Kivega is going to say that, I'm sorry, the Rav is going to say against Rabbi Kivega that everybody agrees in this case it would be awesome. So let's wait and see.
Is the basic question. You say min b'min is not batel. How do you define min b'min then?
When you say min b'min, it's not batel, you mean Rabbi Yehuda Shita.
Yes.
Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, okay. Because right. I don't think we pass in Rabbi Yehuda, but yeah, go ahead. Min b'min, I feel mellow batel.
That's right, but what do you consider a min? If you define, how you define.
For that, we'd have to learn Hilchos Taharos.
You can define in such a way where everything becomes the same.
Right. It could be two minim are defined by two tam, and it could be two minim are defined by two shemos. I mean,
the same ballpark, so to speak. You know, if one is tame and the other one is not tame, even though that has nothing to do with the din of cooking. And achila, would that still be not min b'mino?
So again, there are different ways of understanding min b'mino, min b'she'eno b'mino. If it's a matter of time, then if they both have the same time, it might be min b'mino, even though it's tumah v'tahara. I don't know.
All right.
If on the other hand, min b'mino is understood halachically, you know, they have two different shemos, then you might come to other conclusions that maybe Tommy and Torah have two different shemos. Right. I don't know.
So my question.
I'm just pointing out that
your answer is my
what min b'mino lo batel according to you is very fascinating. It really fits very well into this principle called het v'hetel lo batel, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you talk about bittel? You got yayin b'yayin. This is yayin nesach and this is yayin heter. So where's the bittel here? Again, you and I might say it's bittel because of isa v'heter, right? Because again, according to the principle you've shown him, Isur is Vavatal Heter or Heter is Vavatal Isur. So you can apply that to Yayin V'Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. We want Bittel because of the Tam is Bottle. What do you mean the Tam is Bottle? It's all Yayin. You know, feed it to a guy, he doesn't know the difference between Yayin Nesach and Yayin Shel Heter. Chemically, it's exactly the same thing. So where's the Bittel? But you. Well, why am I mentioning this? I wasn't going to mention min b'mino, but you see again that bittel works with a certain confrontation. If there's no confrontation, then there's no bittul. Bittul means one, you know, kol yom gava kind of thing that we discussed above. And see, you know, one thing is stronger than the other, and it overwhelms the other, and then it's vavatul the other. If they all integrate into one happy family, that's not bittul. Okay. Oh, so why does the Rav reject this Rabbi Kivegan? So he says the following. While it is true that on a Doraisa level, Basa B'chol depends upon Bishol, on a Drabana level, it does not depend upon Bishol at all. Haraya, you're not allowed to put meat and milk into your mouth simultaneously. Nothing's cooking, or everything was cooked already. I mean, hopefully you're not cooking it inside your mouth. That might be unsolicited. So there's no cooking going on over here. And there never will be cooking. It doesn't matter. In fact, the entire gzera of waiting between meat and milk is because we don't want you to eat it together at the same time. Okay, it could be that you can eat the meat immediately after the milk. That's possible. Okay, but it's only going to be allowed after the milk. No one is going to allow you to eat meat and milk at the same time. Derech bishul ahin, derech bishul aher. We don't need derech bishul. That's on a drabbanan level. So he says the following: Al kol panim, midrabbanan, asur lechol basar v'cholav. Interesting. He calls it basa v'cholav, not basa b'cholav. Because basa b'cholav means you cook them together. Yeah. But basa v'cholav, the achal gavdin is arvu below derech bishul. So you have a mixture of meat and milk, and you're not allowed to eat it, even though there's no element of bishul here.
So what is the issue of the third, you know, they have the three times los bashal, one's for achila, one's for anah. What is that achila? Only eating that which was cooked already?
So it's a two-step process? I think so, right. So I think so.
So by definition, anytime you eat on the derisa level, you're over two lot and one to cooking together.
Well, no, it could be somebody else cooked it, or maybe a guy cooked, or maybe even if it fell, you know, just like the milk spilled from a shelf. But it's got to be derech bishul in order to violate the derisa. But that's not a precondition on a derabbanan level. The rabbanan created a whole new iser. It's not basar bichalav, but it's basar vichalav.
You have no relationship to basar bichalav altogether.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they're afraid that eventually you might cook it together. But conceptually, it's a whole new definition.
I mean, if the definition of basar bichalav is bishul, then if there's no bishul, you're not talking about basar bichalav. I mean, you may
correct. Instead of calling it basa bichalav, call it basa vichalav. Yeah, that's the rabbinic. That's the rabbinic institution.
But what is its relationship to basa?
Okay, that has to do with gzeiros. You know, afraid this and that and the other thing. But just conceptually, do you see what the breakthrough here is? You know, the whole discussion that we had until now was based on the premise that basa bichalav means basa bichalav, which means bishul. But Muchach, he says, the Iser Basar Becholav Midrabbanan Eino Toli BeBishul Klal. I mean, again, you know, the Rav is saying something that's so elementary, but you can miss the trees for the forest. I mean, he's just telling us where we should open our eyes. Elegedera Iser Hushalo Lechol Basar Becholav B'Yachad. He says, that's not Basar Becholav, but Basar Vicholav. Who may high time also Lechol Cholav Achar Basar. Right? You're going to have to wait. And you can't eat it at the same time. Mishum dechayshinan. Oh, right? Uh-oh, this is really interesting. So why can't I eat cheese immediately after meat? Because I'm afraid that I'll eat them together. Or let's say the meat has shamnunis in his mouth, whatever it might be. But it's stuck in his teeth, blah, blah, blah. But whatever it is, we're afraid of what? A bishul?
The combination of
a sechala.
Without bishul.
So now we have a real kasha. Im kein tzarech iyud. I'm fascinated by this because the Rav is telling us such basic things, and now he's slugging up a Mishnah. We don't understand the Mishnah. Di amai einu osur mirabbanan lechol chatichas basar af im nafla alea tipas chalav bilvad. The Mishnah says that if a tipas chalav, which means less than 1 to 60, right, falls onto the meat, then serve it at the next Sheva Brachos and let the Rosh Hashiva eat it. Well, there's no chumrah over here. You can eat the Tarovas, correct? But why? He's eating basar v'chalav. The answer has to be, there's only one answer to this issue. He's not eating basar v'chalav because the chalav is batal. Al karchuk tzarech lomar, the afal pishach miru rabbanan lesser basar v'chalav. But nevertheless, that's only when you have both basar and chalav. But if you have a tarovis and the chalav is completely batel, that's not eating chalav and basar. I'm both saying this is so basic. It's like I'm embarrassed here that I didn't, you know, like a child should really understand this, and I never understood this. I'm admitting my ignorance. It's so simple here. In other words, if you want to discuss a machlokas rishonim about whether bittul works in basar b'chalav, that's fine if you're talking about a doraisa level. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about it through a bundle of you have no choice but to introduce bittul. Because otherwise, what do I do with a Mishnah that says I can eat a tarovas of milk and meat when the Rabbanan prohibited eating meat and milk at the same time? It must be that the milk is gone. It lost its identity. How did it lose its identity? Through bittul. You can't talk about Derech Bishalas with Torah because we're dealing with the Rabbanans. Umeyata, therefore, hoil the tarovas basa b'chol b'lona sinas tam. In other words, if you have a situation of one tipa against 61 pieces of volumes of meat, is muteris mit rabbanan. You can take that meat home. It's got a tipas chalav in it, and serve it for a Shabbos meal. Serve it on Yom Kippur. I don't mean Yom Kippur. I meant to say Rosh Hashanah, right? You can serve it on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin, but we're going to eat it. We're going to eat it on Yom HaDin. The only way you can explain that, when the Rabbanan prohibited you from eating meat and milk together, it must be midin bittul, because it's such an insignificant amount of chalav relative to volume of meat that it's batal. Is mimela? Here's the punchline against Rabbi Kivager. Mistaber the alkol ponim mir Rabbanan also levashel basa b'chalav. If I take meat and milk and I cook them together, so then what am I doing? Again, the ratio is 1 to 61, but I'm being mevatel isul chatchil because the Rabbanan asked it. If there's an asinus tam below bishul, you're not allowed to put it into your mouth. So what are you doing now? You're going to put it into your mouth because of bittul, if it's 1 to 61. So how are you allowed to cook it together, or for that matter, mix it together? That would be a violation of the principle of ein mevatel isul chatchil. Wow. I mean, I'm telling you, Rabbosa, there's so many pieces of the puzzle here. In the logical analysis here, it's a masterpiece.
But where is the Iser?
The Iser is bittul, meaning, you know, bittul is a good thing for the Jews, right? It's good that chalav is bittul, but it's a bad thing for the Jews if you do it with your hands.
It's ein levatli Iser lechatchila. So where is the Iser that he's mevatel?
The Iser that he's being mevatel is basar v'chalav. Not basar v'chalav, but basar v'chalav. Why? Because any mixture of basar of v'chalav in your mouth is asur, min rabbanon. And on that Iser, you're going to now apply bittul. Why? Because you're going to mix the ratio of milk into meat that's such that it'll be batel. But if you don't apply the principle of bittul, we really don't understand how the Mishnah would allow you to eat this thing. Now, you want to do it, you know, via dayim, you want to actively take these two elements of basar and chalav and set up a ratio which you mix it together with bittul. That's a violation of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila.
Well, ein mevatlin isur lechatchila is a klal in a d'oraisa. It's not a d'rabbanan.
No, I think there are many riots that ein mevatlin isur lechatchila applies even to the rabbanans. For example, you're not allowed to cook milk and cheese. Milk and chicken, even though we pasken that milk and chicken is the rabbanan.
That is zero and zero.
I'll tell you why, because ein mevatlin isur lechatchila was something which was built into bittul, meaning bittul allows you to take some situation that would normally be usur and now circumvent it. So they didn't want you to do that.
That's why it always says tipat chalav shenafla. Nafla means that you didn't put it in.
And the Rav is saying Chas V'Shalom to interpret the Mishnah as if to say you would be allowed to do such a thing. You know, I would have been very happy if you would have told me you're allowed to do this. You know, this is like an exciting thing. You know, I wanted to ask you as a quiz question on your smicha exam. When would you be allowed to cook milk and meat together? And you would tell me, well, it's not been osein tam, so I can cook the milk till zaygezut and shtak and just keep cooking milk in basa. So Rabbi Kivega is going to get up and he's going to say that, wait a minute, that's a problem according to the Shita of the Aguda in the name of the Levush, because Eim Avat L'Nisil Chatchila. So I'm going to tell him, well, I hold like Tosis and the Rosh, and there's no possibility of Bittul here because it's Ante Meheta. The whole deal is Derech Bishlos with Torah. If it's less than a Tipas Cholav, then it's not Derech Bishlos. If it's not Derech Bishlos, it's garnished. I mean, what? You know, let's say I took meat and milk and I would put it on my two sides of my head. So what, is that an osa? I mean, it's, you're not letting me mavashal it together. So now I'm saying that to be mavashal together would activate bittul. Well, that makes sense according to the Aguda, because the Aguda says that even beheter beheter is bittul. So now you're not allowed to do this for your diet. Says Rabbi Kivega, but there's no reason why we should be inhibited to do this, you know, very slight volume of milk, according to Tosfos in the Rosh, because they don't have bittul here. So you're just talking about ein derech bishul. So it's like he's putting meat and milk on two sides of his head. Is that osur? There's no bishul over here. Comes with Rav Salafeshi, and he says that's true on a doraisa level, but in terms of the entity of basar vichal of on a darabana level, then you are really setting up a bittul here, because the only way we could justify eating milk and meat together at the same time is with bittul. Otherwise, how could we allow such a thing when the Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk together? Now, I will say, if you could hold on to this page, which is called Kuf Ayin Dalet, you have that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want you to fast forward to, just one second, to page Kuf Pei He. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Have we discussed this? I don't think we discussed this yet. But you say you already have it. But yeah, maybe you have it, but we didn't get to it. I don't remember that we discussed it. I don't remember.
If we discussed it, we didn't. If we don't remember what we discussed, then we didn't discuss
it. Even if we did discuss it, I think that's what you mean, right? But by that token, I can say the same shir over and over again for the next 10 years. No, I'm just joking. All right. No, you should know, I also find if I don't chaz something, forget it. You know, by tomorrow it's gone. But this is a very fascinating Rambam. In fact, okay, I don't have the Rambam, so we're not going to... But it's if you get a chance, look at the Rambam inside. Fascinating Rambam. The Rambam wants to know, what happens if you take a shtik nevel or chelev and you cook it with milk? So it's chet lamed bet with chet lamed bet. It's just a question of where you put the vowel. So it's chelev with a tzera, with cholev with a kovat. Right? So you cook it together. Then, after you cook it, you eat it. Now, clearly, once you eat it, this is undeniable, unquestionable. You get malchus for eating the vela, eating chelev. That nobody denies that. But the question is, can we, in addition, pile up another issa? Because since before you ate it, you cooked it with milk, now it becomes basar v'cholov, and you're chayv for two laven. And the Gemara has many cases where you could be chayv for two laven, unless we apply the principle called ein iser chalal iser, which means that this nevela was also before you cooked it with milk, and therefore you're not adding anything by cooking it with milk, and ein iser chalal iser, basar v'cholov cannot be chal on nevela. So the Rambam makes the following distinction. Says the Rambam, if you cooked chalev with chalav, or nevela with chalav, and then you ate it, you will get malchus, says the Rambam. For what? For bishul. No, I'm saying, forget about chalav. Again, that's undeniable. For you ate the chalav, you get malchus. But I'm saying, you will get malchus for basar v'cholav, but only for what? For bishul, not for achil. Why? Because the Rambam says that as far as achil is concerned, we have a principle called ein iser chalal iser. But as far as bishul is concerned, you can't apply the principle of ein iser chalal iser. There was never an iser to be mevashel nevela. If you want to cook the nevela until zaygezut and shtak, you can cook the nevela for now until doomsday. But you're not allowed to cook milk with meat. And therefore, when he cooks milk with this nevela meat, he is chayav malchus for violating the iser of lo sevashel bishul, but he would not get malchus for basar v'cholov for eating this concoction after he cooked it. Even though he gets malchus for nevela, but he's not going to get malchus, an additional malchus for what? For basar v'cholov. because ein isur chalalis. But here the Rambam gets very dramatic. Says the Rambam, she'ein kan lo isur kolel v'lo isur mosif v'lo isur bevasachas. The Rambam says that there are three exceptions to the rule of ein isur chalalis, and none of them are relevant here. What are those three exceptions? Let's go from the easy, we're going to go backwards here. There's something called Isur Vasachas, where Mishas Leidoso, both Isurim were chal simultaneously. It sounds like Kim Levi the Rabbi. Yeah, I'm just joking. But what it means is that since both Isurim have an equal claim here to this object, then Isur Chal, Isur Yechai for both Isurim. Then he has something called an Isur Mosif, which means that the second Isur, now we're in a sequence, it's not Vasachas, but the second Isur expanded the Isur in such a way that now there are certain chafatzim, certain objects that are now included in the Isur by virtue of the second Isur, even though they would have been mutter in the first Isur. And then he has something called an Isur Kolel. An Isur Kolel means that there's some new dimension of Isur that's added to this very same object. In other words, you add a new Isur to this object. So the Rambam says that when you cook nevela with cholov, you don't add anything to the sabbat. First of all, you didn't the isur nevela predated the isur what basav cholov, so it's not b'vasach. Secondly, it's not a mosiv because you didn't add any new chefta. But thirdly, he says you didn't even add anything to the isur itself. It's not even an isur mosiv. So Rav Soloveitchik says the Rambam contradicts himself. Because this Rambam is at the beginning of Perek Tes. Now, fast forward to Perek Yud Dalet, so we're five chapters later. The Rambam says that he was magdish an animal, and now he eats the chelev of the animal. And it's chelev behema. So first of all, he violates the isamalkis of eating chelev. And secondly, the Rambam says, he's chayav for violating the iser of kodshim. Why? Because the Isur of Kodshim is going to be Chal on top of the Isur of Chalev. Fek the Rambam, it's Ein Isur Chal Isur. Zok the Rambam, it's an Isur Mosif. Why is it an Isur Mosif? What does Kodshim add to the Isur of Chalev? Chalev is Mutar Banah. Kodshim is Osur Banah. So since the Kodshim adds another Isur, namely Hanah, Zok the Rambam, that's called an Isur Mosif. So we see clearly from the Rambam that if you add an Isur Hanah to an Isur Achila, then we apply the principle of Yesh Isur Chal Isur, because it's an Isur Mosif. Now, if the Rambam holds that Kodshim, insofar as it adds an Isur Anah, is an Isur Mosif and Chal Al Isur, and now you're going to get Malkus for two Lavim, says the Rambam, number one Chelim and number two Kodshim, then how could the Rambam say that Basa B'Cholav is not an Isur Mosif? Because what did Basa B'Cholav add to the Vela? Isur Anah. Alright, I think maybe, I don't know, it sounds very quiet in there. Does that mean they started Mincha? Let me just take a look.
Well, that's really...
Yeah, that's
Mincha. I mean, it sounds like they're asking the same question about
the... So we'll stop here.